This is a 10 Talent Wealth podcast. Welcome to 10 Talent Wealth podcast series, where we shift our mindset to building wealth. This is the Entrepreneurs series. Entrepreneurs need inspiration. And what better place to receive that inspiration than from other successful entrepreneurs? In this series, 10 Talent Wealth will be connecting you with entrepreneurs who have great ideas that they have turned into great businesses. They've discovered a market need and found a unique way to meet those needs. Reverend Philip Turner and Mr. Robert Walsh have one of those great entrepreneurial ideas. They've launched Consumer Gurus, where they transform lives one consumer at a time. Consumer Gurus educates consumers on simple yet powerful techniques which help you save money on your grocery bills. For me personally, the one monthly expense which can get out of control if I don't plan and prepare in advance is the grocery bill. Philip and Robert have developed a system which provides insights into using couponing, sales cycles, stockpiling, and master strategies that will shave off hundreds of dollars from your monthly bill. When you have the knowledge you need to spend less on groceries, you can redirect those dollars to achieving your dreams.
When you guys started this, we were in Kingdom Heirs together. What precipitated the idea in the first place of you starting a business like this?
Well, I think one of the things that brought Robert and I to this conclusion was, it's like the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. We saw there was a need, and we asked God for wisdom to be able to meet the needs of the people. God had a concern to bless his people, and God showed us a way to help people in a time of need, tough time, bad economy, how we can save money, how we can be blessed, how we can survive in a time when everybody's going under. Well, there's a system out here to bless people, to be able to not just live good, but live better than what they've been doing. So that was one of the key things that when we talked about how we came to this conclusion, there's a great need on people saving money. So one of the things about our business is not just coupon, it's about being good stewards of the finances that God gives you and defying the odds to believe that we can be blessed and live a better life in a time of need.
The whole principle of stewardship and the fact that this is something that, as it said in the parable where the rich lord left three of his associates in charge of his money, it's a parable because it applies to each one of us. What we have is exactly what the Lord has gifted us to be able to handle, and it changes over time. But the key is we have to know that it is His that we have been given to actually manage. So that's awesome. We're definitely on the same page there.
Yes. And one of the key things that the Bible says is, in all our getting, get an understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. And to be able to survive in this kind of environment and this kind of economy, you need the wisdom of God to be able to say how to take a 5 loaves and 2 fishes and stretch it out so you can feed a multitude. And one of the things that we have in our business is showing us how that you don't need a lot. You just need wisdom, and you can take a little bit and stretch it into a lot.
Exactly. So tell me about some of the key principles that you guys have discovered that would be most helpful.
I guess first and foremost, you have to first be patient. You can't do this overnight. You can start it the next day, but it doesn't take full effect. It takes weeks and months to start accumulating. One of the things that we really preach and teach about is patience and starting small and have a goal. Again, for example, everyone, their budget is different. Their house size is different. What I mean by that is someone may have a full garage to be able to use. Someone may have a small pantry closet that they may be able to utilize. So again, we'll give some of examples and strategies, but there's also some homework assignments per se where people have to now in turn apply it to their own household.
There is a system that is in place, and we have a philosophy: if you work the system works. And God has got a way, the world has a way, and instead of fighting against the system, work the system, and you'll find out that you can live a much better and healthier and happier life.
Two principles. Number one, be patient, and it's got to be a custom plan based on your needs and your health. But the other piece of it is key as well, and that is, once you understand the system and work the system, it will work for you. That's what you're saying?
That's correct. That's what we're saying. Every household is different. The great American way is having 2.3 children. Well, some people have 5 children, 4 children. Some people have, everybody has different economic levels. But one thing there is about saving money, it levels the playing field. Everybody, and no matter what level you are, can save money. Because with the economy nowadays, people say, well, I can't afford to save this and save that. But in this particular field, everybody, no matter what your economic status is, you can save money.
It can add up to hundreds to thousands of dollars per year. And what we show people is the stuff that they are getting either at a discounted rate, sometimes even free, they can actually reapply that money to another portion of their budget in which they may not be able to save. For example, like a car payment or a mortgage, where you know that fixed amount is the same every month, but you're just reapplying the same money that you've been blessed with. You're saving money on groceries, and now you're able to, for example, pay off another debt.
I think the whole ultimate goal is people look at their outcome and then outgo and the income. What we're trying to say, this is another way that if your outgo is more than your income, to balance it out. Don't have as much going out, but you have as much accumulated. So if we can teach people how to save money on their outgo, then they'll be a lot happier with their income.
That's the overall principle for wealth building. If you have, number one, you have knowledge about what that outflow and income is, one versus the other, and the timing associated with it. You can very easily begin to monitor and track when you start a project like this. Between last month and this month, I've made these adjustments, and this is what my savings is. And then you can reflect that to the bottom line. I remember in previous conversations that we've had, you can take whatever that number is and put it aside in a, you know, in a savings account or somewhere visible so that you can actually see your progress over time.
That's correct. You can take your money and put it in the bank, and the bank will give you a minimal amount of interest, but you really never see the change. And people have a tendency, if they can't see some kind of immediate change, they have a tendency to get discouraged. But with this system, you can begin to see a change where you can encourage yourself to keep going on. Because again, we go and buy things in a lot of ways. But one thing about going to the supermarket using coupons, you do that every week. So if you can begin to see yourself a change every week, it'll encourage you to keep going. And in other ways, you'll say, oh, I can fix this, I can fix that problem. Because, again, this is not just about buying groceries. It's about being good stewards with the money that God has given you. Taking a little bit, being able to stretch it, being able to survive with a lot of dignity. I'm not always broke, busted, and disgusted. But guess what? I am blessed because I've learned to work a system that I have to deal in every day, every week, twice a week, twice a month, that I can go and I can work this system. And I don't have to be depressed because I'm leaving all my money in a store. But I'm coming out with a large amount and keeping some of my money in my pocket.
I like the strategy. Well, I got to tell you now, bringing it down to the everyday, I'll give you a perfect example. And I thought about you guys as I was doing my grocery shopping in a hurry this past weekend. And this is my normal mood. In spite of the fact that we've had our conversations, my normal mood is I need X, Y, and Z, and I go out and get it. And I'm not focused in on, detergent, what is it relative to the last time I bought it, or how could I really have planned this out? That is the caveat typically for me, in that I'm normally in the mode of, I got to hurry up and get whatever it is that I got to get because I've run out. How do you overcome that mentality? What is it that you communicate to your clients that says, okay, now it's time to stop the madness. Do this first, this second, this third. What are you telling us to do?
I would say first and foremost, the first thing that I would encourage your readers and our clients would be first to make a shopping list. What are firstly the brands and items that you purchase? You need to know that first. Second, once you have that list, like for example, I buy Tide detergent. I'm okay with Whisk. I really don't want to deal with all. You know, you kind of build up a list of what you will buy, what you normally buy, and then right next to it, kind of put of how much do you have and how soon do you go through it. Like, I'll give you an example. We eat a lot of Italian food, so I always have to have spaghetti sauce on hand. Philip here does not eat as much Italian food, so he may go by with maybe 4 jars a month, where I may need 30. So again, it's also, you need a shopping list and you need to know how often you consume those products. Once you know that, then we can really help you, for example, how to read a circular. You also want to know the store cycle and also the sale cycle. Certain things are on sale more often than not. If you know that piece of knowledge, like for example, now is the time to buy condiments like ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce. Some of those things in the summertime are on sale more frequent, and you can stockpile those things for the long winter. Things like laundry detergent, you may be able to get at a half-decent sale every 3 months, so you might want to buy a 3-month supply based on how much you use.
One of the key things that we're looking for, the type of people that we're trying to help, are the ones that are sick and tired of being sick and tired of spending a lot of money and not getting anything for their money. And so, again, we're teaching people how to plan, because we know the saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So everything we do in life is it has to have a plan to it. And so when we plan to save money, you plan on learning about what you eat, what you wear, what you eat, what you drink. And when you learn to take time and plan these things out, you'll be able to say, I don't have to spend as much money and I can get more for my money. So really one of our target audiences is people that are just, again, sick and tired of saying, I went to the store and I bought X amount of stuff and what did I get for my dollar? Now with our system is you can come out the store and say, I spent X amount of dollars and look at all I've got for my money.
And what we teach them, Sean, really does not take a lot of time per week. I know there's a popular show out there where you see people spending 30 to 40 hours a week preparing and coupon shopping. I would think between the two of us combined, we may spend less than 10 hours a week from either cutting coupons, taking a look at the sales, and actually doing the shopping. So we're actually talking about time that you can spend with your family while watching TV. When people get in the mind of saving money, they will find the time, especially when we're talking about something that can be done in 10 hours or less a week.
on an average, I spend about 2 hours a week on my coupons. But it's worth it because when I go to the store, I'm organized. And that's really what it is about, helping people to organize their lives. In anything else you do, you organize. When you go to work, you're organized. Hopefully when you're in your house, you're organized. That's why you have closets in your house. That's why you have pantries to put stuff away. Well, here's another area that you can save money by just organizing. People say, well, I don't want to take the time. Well, if you don't want to take the time to save money, you'll take plenty of time to spend, to waste money. And that's what we're trying to do. Teach you how to quit spending money you don't have to. And if you just take a little bit of time, like Robert said, have a little bit of patience and organize yourself. Never go to the store without a grocery list. Never go to the store without looking to see what you need and just buying haphazardly. I've learned not to go to the store and buy on a whim. But when I go to the store, I go with a purpose. For me, grocery shopping used to be a drudgery. Once I started coupon shopping, now it's a challenge. Because now I'm going to see is how much can I get for my dollar, as opposed to how much am I going to spend for my dollar.
So not to, I guess, go a little further, I look at it as kind of like paying taxes. Everyone has to pay their fair share. Two people make the same amount of money, but someone will pay a higher share of taxes than the other. I can give you an example of, let's say you and I go grocery shopping, we pick up the same items, but what would you say if I paid 50 to 75% less than you did for the same item?
I'd be a little curious as to how in the world you did that. I would definitely be wondering what it was that I'm doing wrong. And I think what the key really is I am a haphazard shopper. I don't take time to be organized ahead of time. And so, therefore, I'm paying more than I should be paying. As a result, I'm not stewarding the grocery portion of my budget the way I need to. But so you're asking.
When you go full shopping, don't you look for sales? If you go buy a car, don't you go to different dealerships, kick the tires, and look at the different prices? If you bought a home, you wouldn't buy the first house at the first price. You try to negotiate. Well, the same thing is same with coupon shopping. Except you do this much more, you do it on a religious basis. And so if you do it the most, you might as well get the most out of it. Get the biggest bang for your buck.
That's it. So it's a paradigm change, really, related to how I think about that portion of my spending. Now, I bought a car about 3 years ago, and I was so well prepared. And I walked in there, and there wasn't anything that they could tell me that I hadn't already researched ahead of time. And you know what? I was spending a lot more money for one item. So in this case, I'm talking about, as Robert said initially, I have to be patient, and I got to think about the fact that every grocery purchase can yield some savings. So therefore, I need to be just as serious about buying my next bottle of Tide as I am about the vehicle purchase or the home purchase or the electronics or whatever it is. I like that strategy.
Well, look at it this way. When you went to buy a car, you did your homework. And so you thought about, whatever I'm paying for this car, how long did it take you to save up the money for the down payment of that car? And after you saw what you like, if it took you 3 years to save up the down payment, you spent it in about 10 minutes. Well, that's every 5-6 years. Now, imagine if you think about that way when you go grocery shopping. How long does it take you to save up to work, to earn the money to buy groceries? If you get paid every week, every biweekly, every month, it takes you that amount of time. If you're not a good steward, you can go and spend that same amount of money just as quickly in the supermarket, and you do it more often.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And I mean, if you're not careful, there's times where you'll spend more money than you planned on it.
Yeah.
That's what, like, for example, credit cards. You know, I go in there with a budget of $150, but you know what? The bakery smelled good. They had a deal on this. They had a sample station on that. All that tasted great. Now I'm spending $225. You know what? I need to put that on my credit card now because I don't have enough cash on me. And then most of the times, if a lot of our clients and readers are like me, I say I'm going to put that money towards a credit card bill, but I end up paying the minimum. Because something else happened during the month.
If you could sit and say what your monthly budget is, hypothetically, if you said your budget is $300 a month, or if you're a family of five or four, it's about $500 a month. And you sat down and say, okay, this month I spent $500. I did my diligence in coupon shopping, and I found out that I bought the same amount of food, but I only spent $400. Now, if I put the same amount of time in next month, I bought the exact same amount of food, and I only spent $300. If you took that money, that same budget money, and put it in a tin can, a jar, stick it underneath the mattress, wherever you hide it, people hide it in their sock drawer. Imagine how much you could accumulate because you spent a little more time reading the labels instead of grabbing something off the shelf without looking at it.
Well, something you just said sparked a thought. Now, normally I try to use my debit card, for example, and I use my debit card for the majority of my spending, just so I've got one account where I can actually track every category of spending. But what I just heard, Robert, you say is you go with cash. You go with cash because you had X amount that you had planned in your budget for the groceries for that time you were going to shop. And therefore, unless you pull out the credit card or some other means, then you can't spend more than what you planned, and you've got to stick with the plan. Did I hear you say that?
That is correct. I mean, a lot of people today depend on the power of credit. They look at it as a free will to spend more money that they actually don't have. But again, if you go with a debit card or cash, and let's say your limit was $100, but you have $150 worth of items, you're going to be upset that you came out of more cash than you had to.
The world isn't used to cash and carry basis. They're not really used to that. And if we really got to get back to, I'm going to save it, I see it, I save it, and then I spend it, as opposed to I spend it, I see it, and don't save it. But when you get to the place where, when I reach my budget, stop. And coupon shopping will help you be able to get a lot more and stay within your budget, because that's really what it's about. It isn't just about food or soup, soap powder. It's about budgeting. It's about being able to say, I'm not going to go over my limit. I didn't get all I want this time, but I'll get it all the next time. But the object is to stay within your means until you can afford to go out of your means without taking it from your light bill, your phone bill, your mortgage.
Yeah.
It's really about you controlling your finances instead of your finances controlling you.
And Sean, if I may go back, based on something you had mentioned in our conversation, you had said that when you go shopping, there's times where you shop for need because you ran out of something. What would you say if I were able to tell you that we're able to help you stockpile certain items or all your items to a point where you're no longer shopping for need, you're shopping to replenish your stockpile. What I mean by that is, for example, toothpaste. If you're sitting on 10 tubes of toothpaste for your family and a sale comes up where you can get toothpaste again for, let's say, 25 cents, now you have the option of saying, do I want to stockpile more toothpaste because I already have 10 tubes compared to shopping when you don't have any? Because I can guarantee you, shopping when you don't have any, you're at the mercy of the store, of either your brand loyalty or finding what's cheapest available. But one of the things we teach people, stockpiling, is how to start accumulating, and it is a lot easier to make a decision, well, I'm going to keep shopping for this particular item based on my usage. And you already have plenty of it, so you can make that decision. Or, you know what, I'm not going to get it this time around. I can wait another month to get the toothpaste, toilet paper, or some of the other household items. Because you have a fair amount of supply.
Okay. So now, I heard you say some very key things. I heard the word stockpile. Now, the first thing I think of is like a warehouse, thinking of my home like a warehouse for the item. Now, that almost scares me when I hear that part. And so I'm like, okay, number one, where am I going to store all this? And I'm achieving a goal of not running out, therefore I'm not at the mercy of the store. That's the reason for the stockpile. But at the same time, how am I tracking this throughout the time period so that I know, am I really saving money, or am I buying for the sake of buying because it's on sale?
Okay. First and foremost, now where you're going to store it is on an individual basis. Like, for example, when I say stockpile, I have two shelves in a hallway closet and a five-shelf, like a mini plastic storage unit. It's probably about 3 feet wide, maybe 5 feet tall, so it's not taking up a whole lot of space. And I have a family of four and a dog, so it's not like I converted my garage and you open it up and it's like a mini supermarket. But again, it's based on my family's usage. I try and maintain a 3 month supply of a lot of the items that I have. There are some items I may have a year supply because that's how infrequent we may use it or how infrequent it may go on sale. Again, a couple of things we talk about is sale cycles. Every item that you purchase has a cycle on it. It may be a seasonal item. It may be something that goes on sale every 3 to 6 months. Now, based on your personal usage, that will help determine how often you need to buy it and how much you need. So, for example, I'll go back to the toothpaste. I literally have 15 tubes of toothpaste in our closet. My problem is I have a hard time passing up a good deal. What I define a good toothpaste is buying it for 10 cents or less. And this is something that may be on sale for 99 cents.
Sean, when I think about stockpiling, I have to look at kind of like in a biblical sense. There are three stages all people go through in their lives. One, the first stage is you live in a time of not enough. Then you go through a stage where you live in a time of just enough. Well, it's God's will that we live in a time of more than enough. So when I look at stockpiling, I'm looking at saying, instead of me running to the store to buy, say, for instance, toothpaste, I run to my closet. And if you've got 5 or 6 items of everything you need, that's a stockpile. So basically, a stockpile is having more than what you need of an item.
Right.
And so if I've got more than what I need, I don't have to go, in a sense, panic shopping. Mm-hmm. I squeeze everything out of that tube of toothpaste, and I squeeze it and squeeze it. Nothing's coming out. I stuck my toothbrush's bristle down in there, and now I need something to brush my teeth. And now I've got to run to the store. But normally, if I have more than what I need, that's a stockpile. And a stockpile is like money in the bank. You have a sense of, it gives you a sense of security that I'm not going to live in that land of not enough or just enough again. But I'm going to enjoy the land of more than enough. If that helps. That's how I look at it.
And that's a very visual concept. It's very easy to understand. Not enough, just enough, more than enough. That I can see a basket at various stages. And so if I think of my stockpile in that mode, then I'm trying to manage the categories of my items so that I have more than enough in the categories that I'm trying to create a stockpile.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So stockpiles go by, it's an individual thing. Now, Robert feels secure by having a garage full. Well, it's just me and my wife. So I'm happy with just half a garage full. Somebody else might be happy with just a pantry full. But the object is the term full, as opposed to having a garage full, a half a garage, a pantry empty. When I have more than what I need, then I'm living in the land of more than enough, the security, and that's my stockpile. And I shop from my stockpile and not from my running out need.
Right, right.
I said, when you're shopping from your stockpile, it takes the pressure off you buying. So now I'm not pressing, I have to have that.
Right.
And now it's, well, I need it. I have an option.
And we're not talking about the things, Sean, like the everyday things, like your eggs, your milk, your bread, your meats, and your vegetables. Of course, we understand those particular items. Yes, you may have to go out on a weekly basis to replenish, but we're talking some of the household items and groceries where you can actually put up for a certain amount of time and use them as needed.
Right. Well, how do you then understand what your usage rate is? I heard you say there's a way of understanding how much you use on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, yearly basis, whatever that would be, and that varies based on the item. So give me a way that you ballpark and then figure out, okay, A, I know what my inventory is, B, I'm looking at a sale, I could get one, I could get 10. How do you make those buying decisions, and how do you measure what your usage rate really is in the first place, so that you really are not overbuying, I guess is the word?
Well, I think it all depends on your individual use of things. For instance, if you like butter, how much butter do you use? Some people use a lot, some people don't. Some people cook with it. And so if you like butter a lot, then you know this is something that I need to be able to stockpile in, as opposed to, say, tissues that I don't use a lot. I don't need to stockpile as much as that. So it all depends on your individual use, what your taste is, what you like the most. Robert and his family, they like a lot of pasta, so they have a lot of pasta and spaghetti sauce. That's because of their taste. Now, whatever you have to determine what your taste is, what you eat a lot of, what you use a lot of, what are your cleaning products that you use a lot of. Some people only like Scott's paper towels. Well, if you like that, then that's the thing that you use a lot of. And so the thing that you use a lot of, that's the thing where you have to concentrate on stockpiling, because you use it up faster and you run out quicker. And so I don't want to run out quicker. I want to have plenty of this particular item. So it really depends on your individual taste on how you want to live.
Correct. And each individual, and I'll give you an example. If there's a family that has, let's say, three girls in the household and one man, and they're all, let's say, teenagers, so they may use a lot of conditioner and shampoo compared to, let's say, three boys in the house and one woman, you know, with short hair. The boys have short hair. They're not going to use as much shampoo and conditioner. So again, it goes back to how much you use and how often are you going back to the store to buy those things. So it is a little trial and error at the beginning as you are finding out your usage and your brands. But once again, let's say an example, I do a lot of shopping at ShopRite and CVS. Like, I can tell you in a month, when it comes to dishwashing soap or liquid, there's always going to be a week where CVS is going to put Dawn on sale, Palmolive, Gain, and Joy. So I know once a month, one of those brands of dish soap are going to be on sale. So if I happen to use, let's say, two of them, I know how often they're going to be on sale. Now it's a matter of how often do I do dishes. So, like, for example, in my household, we may use a small bottle, let's say, once a week. So on a monthly basis, I need to get at least four. And again, depending on the brands that I'm comfortable buying for, I may have a supply of anywhere between 8 to 12, depending if I'm buying it weekly, if I'm buying it monthly. And again, that's an easy way of how to calculate it, but each person, each family would be different.
Okay, so there's two things that you said that we need to hear more about. You said that I need to know when I should be buying certain items. That's the first thing that I heard. And I'll be able to track my usage over time. I guess there's some recording method that I should be using?
Well, you can do either. You can record it or you can kind of base it on your shopping habits. How often do you need to buy laundry detergent may help you. Like, are you going out every week buying a small container of Tide? Is one big bottle from Sam's lasting you a full month? So again, based on your shopping habits
and your needs,
and your needs, that'll kind of help you use it as a guideline, a starting point for you to, okay, you know what, I use one big bottle at Sam's. Let's say you spend $18 on that bottle. But how about if I told you you can get three smaller bottles that equal the same volume at CVS, but you're spending $6 and not $18. You know, you're still getting the brand, you're still getting the volume, but you're spending one third of what you did at Sam's.
Right. Okay, now.
And in terms of the cycle, that is kind of what we take care of in our seminars and our webinars. We have a guide that will tell you, for example, which household items are on sale, the times of the month, times of the year, and then use that simply as a guide. Again, like I mentioned, in the summer, you're going to find a lot of the condiments and items like hot dogs and hamburgers, things you would do grilling outside. You'll find them more on sale in the summertime. There's other items, like, for example, shaving supplies for men and women. I'm not sure if you go on to Walmart or Target and seen the little gift packs that they have on sale, anywhere between $10 and $15, where you can get a razor, deodorant, shaving cream, and maybe a body wash. Well, I buy those after Christmas. And I get them at a substantial discount. So I don't have to buy razors and shaving cream throughout the year.
When most people, what most people don't do is when they go shopping, they sit down and make a grocery list. Never go into a store without a list. Because as you make your grocery list, you write down the obvious things that you need first. I need ketchup. I need butter. I need milk. I need cleaning supplies. And if you're looking at a list, every time you go shopping, these same items are on that list. Then you know these are the major items that you buy a lot of. So the first things you put on the list every time. Some things you put on the list, the same thing every time. So when you determine that, you can say, okay, my greatest need is any kind of cleaning supplies, Windex. So I know I need, that's an item I look for on sale. Use a coupon for it because I use a lot of that. And at the bottom of the list, you'll find out continually every time the things that you need the least. We like sardines, but I'm not big on sardines. So you don't have to worry about stockpiling on sardines. But if something else is that you use all the time, that'll determine how you stockpile.
I got it. So when you make your list, do you keep your path list? Is that how you track your pricing to see if you got a good deal or you didn't get a good deal? or if you know to go back to one particular store versus another? Is that what you do for recording?
No. What'll happen, Sean, is over time, and again, through our resources in the beginning, we'll give you a guide of a good price on certain household items or common items. But as you start looking at circulars on a weekly basis, you're going to see, for example, different sales. And again, I hate going back to toothpaste, but it's an easy example. Earlier this month, ShopRite had toothpaste on sale for 59 cents. Well, their same sale for the same brand of toothpaste this week is $1.39. So as time goes on, you're going to be able to see, wait a minute, that particular item was just on sale for what they're calling a sale for something more expensive. And then when you combine that with some of the couponing techniques, you're able to determine how much you will pay for that item simply by flipping the circular. Like, for example, that item that was on sale for 59 cents, if I had a coupon for a quarter and I know my store will double the coupon, I know off the top of my head, now I'm paying 9 cents for that tube of toothpaste instead of 59 cents.
Wow,
so again, if you're getting it at 9 cents...
When it's not on sale, it's $1.39.
Correct. And so, again, if I'm buying it at 9 cents, I may make multiple trips to the store and let's say buy 10 for 90 cents. And for some families, that might be a year's worth of toothpaste. In some households, that might be 2 months' worth.
Again, it all goes back to on your personal needs, your personal life. The joy, the luxury of coupon shopping is you can buy what you want at a price that's much cheaper. Because one of the things, and I kind of hate to use the term, but using coupons, you're not buying any knockoff items. Because you go to some stores and they have a name brand on it that you do not recognize. You look into it and say, where did this come from? Well, no, now with the coupon shopping, you learn to work the system. You're buying name brand products, quality products, at basically a knockoff price. And you're buying more of them.
Right. And that's basically because you planned ahead. You're tracking what it is that the cost history is. And you're
right.
Working the system of, okay, there are coupon techniques that you can use. Like you mentioned doubling. Go to the place where the coupons are actually doubled. There's a way to find that out, too, based on your seminar as well, right?
That's what we teach you in our seminar.
Correct.
How to track it, how to spend it, how to save it.
And, Sean, not to go back, and I hate to do this, but to give you another visual about stockpiling, if any of our readers are concerned, I'm pretty sure one of the things that you teach about is emergency funds. Take stockpiling as an equivalent to their household emergency fund for food. What would happen to your family if you weren't working and you came across the fact that you need groceries? How are you going to get groceries? The way we take a look at stockpiling is, you know what, if I don't have to go food shopping this week, I can guarantee you my family will not go without any food. They'll be able to take a shower, be cleaned, and we'll have clothes that are clean for them for a certain amount of time. You know, if it's a week, a 2 week, 3 months, our reader should take a look at the stockpiling as an emergency fund for their food and household items.
Right, and I mean, not only would that serve you from the standpoint of if there is a temporary job loss or something like that, if there was even some sort of, state of emergency related to maybe weather or, you know, whatever all may happen, you have a means to feed your family and even others as well, as the Lord would lead you to keep that as a barrier to hunger. That's pretty serious. So that's another way to look at it that's more strategic from the standpoint of not only just thinking about you or your family, you think about other people beyond just you.
Right.
Okay, and now that's
the Bible says that we are to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Well, you can't do that if you don't have an abundance. An abundance just means more than what you need. So when we have more than what we need, we are able to go forth and do the things that God has told us, to be able to take your family that comes by, and I can go to my closet, and I can give them food to sustain them, and it doesn't hurt us. Because the Bible talks about how when we give, we're supposed to give out of our abundance and not really give out of our need. So if we have an abundance, then we can really do the things that God has told us to do, and it doesn't hurt you.
Exactly. This is pretty serious. It's very practical. It requires some knowledge and some discipline, but it's very, very doable, and it requires a mindset change. But the key really is you have to do it, just purely from the standpoint of stewardship from our earlier conversation, but also if you have the ability to divert money that you would be essentially wasting to put into an emergency fund, to have available, to sow seed, to be able to give to someone in need, then you're being much more effective as a Christian individual and as a Christian family.
Yeah, right. God can trust people with money that don't waste it. And right. If you find somebody that really doesn't care about money, the value of money, then you're not more apt to give them to it because you know they're going to waste it. But if you find someone that's going to be able to take the money and do something with it, again, it goes back to the story of the three stewards. One had five talents, two talents, and one talent. The one with the five talents reproduced for the Lord and Master. The one with two talents reproduced. But the one with one talent was foolish. He buried it. And he didn't reproduce. And what happened, the Lord and Master was angry at him because he was not a good steward with the money. So to get more, you've got to manage more. And when you manage more, you can get more.
I like that. Give more, therefore you can manage more. I like that. And, of course, the parable of the talent.
Yes.
We got to have that skill to be able to manage what we have been given. And that seems to be the theme that we're hearing as we move through. Now, as we begin to wrap up our interview, there's a couple of questions that I want to make sure that we get on available to the readers. And tell me what specific services you actually offer, and then if there are potential events that will be coming up that you'll be conducting, when they are and how the 10 Talent Wealth readers can avail themselves to your information and to your seminars.
All right, just to go over some of the services that we offer, Sean, we do offer on-site seminars for groups. We do individual webinars. We also have a mentoring/coaching program for those who need a little more assistance through our different topics. We do offer group and individual coaching sessions. We do have our interactive website where, for example, once you attend one of our seminars or webinars, you'll be able to take that information and how we were talking about the different coupon policies, sales cycles, things of that nature. We also have a blog on our website where we can list out some deals that we may spot, and it's very interactive because we can't catch all the deals. So if someone sees a deal at a particular store, they can email it to us. We can post it and help not only your readers but other potential clients to capture those same deals.
Okay,
One of the other things that we offer is a follow-up service after our webinar or seminar, because the Lord has placed this on our heart. So the progress and success of our clients and readers does mean a lot to us. So we do have a follow-up. It's kind of like what we like to say, chat and chew, where there's no formal agenda, no formal teaching, but it's you bring your questions, you bring your coupons, the readers and people at the session kind of dictate what we're talking about. You know, you're picking our brain for an hour. And again, your success is very important to us.
So you make yourself available to your customers after the seminar, is what you're saying?
Correct, yes.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes. You had asked about upcoming sessions or events that we have. I would say probably within the next week or so, we should start lining up or announcing some of our on-site seminars and also our webinars, where the 10 Talent Wealth readers can come to our website. They can view, if they wish to come out to an on-site seminar, they can feel free to sign up and do so. Or if they wish to attend a live webinar at the luxury of their own home, we'll have that scheduled out probably within the next week or so for hopefully July and August.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that's on your site. And your site, could you say your site and sell your site to the readers?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. It's consumergurus.com. That's www.consumer, consumer, gurus, gurus.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, is there an email that they can ask questions via as well?
Sure. Yes, there is. It is info at consumergurus.com. And once you, let's say, if you log on to, not log on, but if you simply go to our website on various pages or on every page of the website, if you have a question or a comment, you can click on the info box, and that will get in contact with myself or Philip.
That is awesome. And you guys have such a, the idea is just rich. And there's a huge amount of potential for people who are really learning to get their arms around budgeting, improving their spending discipline, creating a strategy that they can use every time they go to the supermarket, tracking what the savings actually is. This is awesome. And tell me, what's in the future for Consumer Gurus? What are your plans in terms of how to grow your business from here?
Our plan is basically around reaching as many people as we can. We would love to go from state to state. We would love to go nationwide, because the plan that God has given us to help people, it cannot be something that can be contained in one spot. But really, we want to go nationwide and as far as God will take us. Because there's so many millions of people that are in the same predicament, living in the land of not enough. And we want to show you how to be able to live happily in the land of more than enough.
And Sean, just to give you another, I guess, frame of reference, Consumer Gurus is not just about coupon shopping. That is something that we're talking about and starting with at this time. But again, Consumer is about savings for the entire family in every aspect of their life. Let it be, for example, debt. Let it be buying a house, about buying a car, people who want to start a business, people who want to invest. Consumer Gurus will start partner up with other experts in these fields, get this information out to not only your readers, but everyone out there. You know, there's a lot of people who will sell you packages and give you certain bits of items, but there's not a lot of people that actually go out to the people and kind of, not hold their hand, but lay it out to a point where it's very simple to understand. All this is not very hard, but we try and go to different avenues to help people save money in every aspect of their life.
Absolutely. It's not just limited to what you do in a grocery store, but it's a really, it's a mindset change. And when you begin really doing well in this area, it's got to spread. It's got to spread. That discipline has to spread to other areas and aspects of your life.
Yeah. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we're trying to do. Help people, with help them to transform their lives one thought at a time.
I like that. I love it. I love it.
I'm Philip Turner, and I've been coupon shopping for over 30 years. So I think I know what I'm talking about to help people.
My name is Robert Walsh. I've been coupon shopping for over 20 years, and we're looking forward to assist as many people in our country, helping them start saving money on groceries, and help them in every aspect of their financial lives.
Excellent. And this is Sean McLeod of 10 Talent Wealth. I am so happy to have been able to connect up with the experts and consumer gurus. I look forward to being able to, number one, implement these techniques that you have shared with me and with our audience, but also to be able to do some partnering as we move forward. You guys are doing a wonderful job, and for 10 Talent Wealth readers, we're about many of the same things. So I look forward to some future endeavors that we can do together in terms of joint ventures or adventures, I should say. So that wraps up this podcast of ConsumerGurus.com. As we've reviewed all of the information, that information will be out on our website, which is www.10talentwealth.com. That's the number 10, TalentWealth.com. And I can be reached at 10talentwealth@gmail.com. That wraps things up, guys.
This is Sean McLeod, and you have been listening to the 10 Talent Wealth podcast with my special guest, Reverend Philip Turner, and Mr. Robert Walsh. Please join us for our next podcast.